So much of what we do at Christmas time is focused on gifts. Gifts we give to one another, gifts we receive. All in this tradition of the gift that was first given to us at Christmas. I want to tell you this morning a story, an old story that you may have heard before, but perhaps have not heard for a long time. The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. $1.87. That was all. And 60 cents of it was in pennies. Pennies that were saved one and two at a time by bargaining with the grocer and the vegetable man and the butcher until her cheeks burned with embarrassment, the embarrassment of being someone that they would call a penny pincher. Three times Della counted the money, $1.87. And the next day, the very next day, would be Christmas. There was clearly nothing to do but flop down on the little couch and cry. So Della did that. You could say that her life was made up of sobs and sniffles and smiles, but mostly sniffles. If you looked at their home, you would see an apartment that came with all of its furniture included for $8 a week. On the bottom floor was a mailbox, but no letters ever came for them. A doorbell, but it didn't work, and the doorbell never rang. But next to the door was a card that had the name on it, Mr. James Dillingham Young. The Dillingham part of that name had started a few years ago when there was some money, when Mr. James Dillingham Young was being paid $30 a week. But now his pay had shrunk to $20. And maybe that fancy name sounded kind of silly. Maybe they should just shorten it to D instead of Dillingham. But whenever Mr. James Dillingham Young came home and came to his apartment, he was called Jim. And he was greeted every time he came home by Mrs. James Dillingham Young, Della, who we talked about earlier. They loved each other very much. And even though they were poor, they were happy. That Christmas morning, Della finished her cry and she put some powder on her cheeks. She stood by the window and looked out at a gray cat walking on a gray fence in a gray backyard. Tomorrow would be Christmas Day, and she had only $1.87 to buy Jim a present. She had been saving every penny she could for months, but this was all she could save. $20 a week doesn't go very far. Their expenses had been more than she'd calculated, because they always are. Only $1.87. to buy a present for Jim, her Jim. She'd spent hours planning to buy something nice for him, and she wanted to get him something very fine and rare and valuable. She was so proud to be his wife, and she wanted this gift to tell him that. There was a mirror between the windows of the room, and she whirled around from the window and stood in front of the mirror. Her eyes were shining with excitement. But her face got pale. She pulled down her hair and let it fall to its full length. Now, you should know that Mr. and Mrs. James Dillingham Young had just two possessions that they were very, very proud of. One was Jim's gold watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's. The other was Della's hair. They both thought her long hair was the most beautiful thing. If the Queen of Sheba had lived in the apartment across the hall, Della would have put her hair right next to that queen's jewels and gifts. And if King Solomon had been the janitor, with all his treasures piled up in the basement, Jim knew that king would be envious of his watch. So now, as Della stood in front of the mirror, her beautiful hair fell around her shoulders, and it was rippling and shining like water. It reached from her head all the way below her knees. It was like a cape for her. And then she pinned her hair up again, nervously and quickly. Once she stopped for a minute and stood still, and a tear splashed on the carpet. On went her old brown jacket, on went her old brown hat, and with a whirl of her skirt and that sparkle still in her eyes, she fluttered out the door and down the stairs to the street. She stopped at a sign that read, "Madame Sofronie, hair goods of all kinds." Della ran up the stairs and she collected herself because she was out of breath. "Will you buy my hair?" Della asked. "I buy hair," said Madame. "Take your hat off and let's see it." And down rippled all that beautiful hair. $20, said Madame, lifting her hair with her hands. "Give it to me quick," Della said. And afterwards, Della went and she ransacked all the stores for Jim's present. Finally, she found what she was looking for. It was so beautiful. Surely it had been made for Jim. There was nothing like it in any other store, and she had turned all of them inside out. It was a platinum watch chain, so beautiful that it was good enough even for his special watch. And as soon as she saw it, she knew he had to have it. It was just like him. It was quiet and valuable, just like he was. $21 she paid for it, and she hurried home with just 87 cents left in her pocket. With that chain on his watch, Jim would be proud to take that watch out and tell time no matter who he was with. Because sometimes he had hidden the watch when he looked at it because he was embarrassed about the strap. When Della got home, she wasn't sure what to do with herself. She got out her curling irons and went to work repairing the damage that her love for Jim had done to her hair. But soon her hair was covered with tiny little curls. She thought she looked a little like a boy. And she looked at her reflection in the mirror long and carefully. "If Jim doesn't kill me," she said to herself, "before he takes a second look at me, he'll say I look like a homeless person." But what could I do? What was I supposed to do with just $1.87? At 7 o'clock, she was waiting for him, ready to cook dinner. Jim was never late. Della held the watch chain in her hand, and she sat down by the corner of the table near the door that he always came in. Then she heard his steps on the stairs outside the door, and she turned white for a moment. She whispered, "Please, God, make him think I'm still pretty." And the door opened, and Jim stepped in and closed it. He looked thin and very serious. Poor guy, he was only 22, and already he had so many responsibilities. He needed a new coat, and he had no gloves to keep his hands warm. Jim stopped inside the door, and he stared at Della. There was something in his eyes that she couldn't read, and it terrified her. It wasn't anger or surprise or disapproval or any of the reactions that she had been prepared for. He just stared at her with a strange expression on his face. And Della got up and went to him. "Jim, darling," she cried, "don't look at me that way. I had my hair cut off and sold because I couldn't have lived through Christmas without giving you a present. It'll grow again. You won't mind, will you? I just had to do it. My hair grows very fast. Say Merry Christmas, Jim, and let's be happy. Wait till you see what a beautiful, nice gift I've gotten for you. You've cut off your hair? Asked Jim slowly, as if he couldn't believe this thing that was very obvious. Cut it off and sold it, said Della. Don't you like me just as well, anyhow? I'm me without my hair, aren't I? Jim looked around the room. You say your hair is gone? He asked, as if he was having a hard time understanding. Don't look for it, said Della. I told you, it's sold and gone. It's Christmas Eve. Maybe the hairs on my head are numbered, but nobody could ever count my love for you, Jim. Shall I start dinner? Finally, Jim seemed to wake up from his trance. He gave Della a big, long hug. And then Jim pulled a package out of his coat pocket and he threw it on the table. Don't ever worry about me, Del, he said. I don't think there's anything you could do to make me love you any less or think you're less beautiful. But unwrap that package and you'll see why I'm so surprised. She tore the string and paper and she cried out with joy, and then her smile turned into tears, because there on the table lay the combs, a whole set of hair combs for the sides and the back of her long hair. Della had admired those combs for a very long time in the store window. They were beautiful, made out of pure tortoise shell with jewels on the edges. Just the perfect shade to wear in her beautiful brown hair. They were expensive, she knew, and she had wished for them without ever even hoping that she could own them. And now they were hers, but her long hair that could have held those treasures was gone. She hugged those combs anyway, and after a while, she looked up with teary eyes and a smile and said, "It's okay, Jim. My hair grows very fast." And then Della leaped up and cried, "Oh, wait." Jim hadn't seen his present yet. She held it out to him on her hand, eager to show him how beautiful the watch chain was. The shiny metal seemed to hold all of her bright and loving spirit inside of it. "Don't you love it, Jim? I hunted all over town to find it. Now you can take out your watch and look at it 100 times a day. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks on it." And instead of doing what she asked, Jim sat down on the couch and he put his hands under the back of his head and he smiled. "Del," he said, "let's put our Christmas presents away and keep them for a while. They're too nice to use. I sold the watch to get the money to buy your combs. Let's just have dinner." The Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the baby Jesus in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Because they were wise, their gifts were wise ones too. Maybe they brought gift receipts so that Mary and Joseph could exchange them in case they got two of anything. This is the story of two foolish young people who lived in a cheap apartment. They unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasures they owned. But maybe, just maybe, of all the wise people who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Everywhere, they are the wisest. They are the Magi. We too are the Magi. Every time we make gifts that give something of ourselves to God, to any of God's children, we too bring gifts. Gifts that matter, gifts that last. This Christmas, let us give the best of ourselves to God and to one another. Amen.